141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a poor night for Scotland at Hampden. A 3-0 defeat to Greece means it's relegation to Nations League B. Hopes had been high on the back of a good run of results and a win away in Greece in the first leg, but back down to earth with a bump. Steve Clark called it a bump in the road. John McGinn called it an embarrassment. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hannah.
Well, Scotland have come Acropolis, haven't we? Greece have left us in ruins. We're out of the top tier of the Nations League. We're down among the also-rans. And I'll tell you what chance of a World Cup qualifying campaign if this 17-year-old Greek laddie's coming, Kasper Schmeichel, Christian Eriksen, and your old pal Mika Bireth are coming with Denmark. I don't fancy our chances. And here's a bet for you now, Gordon. We'll have more withdrawals from the June friendlies than we'll pick up points in the autumn.
We spoke over the weekend and you were buzzing to come in here because you were sure we were going to be looking back on Scotland progressing after that 1-0 win away in Greece. How wrong you were.
Not looking Friday morning when I see you. It's a nice big smile. Good performance, really good performance first half. Second half, you've seen the Greeks were a very good side, but we managed to stay strong and resolute. But obviously... Last night didn't go to plan, and we're sitting with a lot of disappointment in our faces.
Come on then, 01419511025. Where did it go wrong? Why did it go wrong? Why did it not live up to the promise of the first leg? Why was it so different from that good run of results that's been stretching back for a few games leading up to this one? Of course, managers always take the flak for defeats. Which players didn't do their bit? What could have been done differently? Looking forward, World Cup qualification, as Roger says, having to play Greece again, having to play Denmark rather than Portugal, to be fair, which maybe people would have chosen. Summer friendlies, maybe a chance to tweak one or two things or get more youngsters involved. There was a fresher look to some of the squad over the last couple of games. Scotland capped their youngest ever player in James Wilson, but still, none of that is going to get anywhere near the headlines, which was all about losing 3-0 at home. A goal just before half-time, a goal much more immediately after half-time, and that was that. So what did you make of it? 01419511025. And of course, if you just can't face it and you want to already look ahead to the return of domestic football, you're more than welcome. 01419511025. That's the beauty of it, Roger Hannah, because you can, if you really, I mean, tonight you probably can't, but after that you can stick it in a drawer, deal with it in the summer, and look forward to, officially, what do we always say after this international break, the business end of the season.
The title run in, top six places up for grabs, relegation, survival fight is on, the push for promotion into the Premiership. It's all to play for. Let's park Scotland, but maybe not till 8 o'clock.
Give us the, come on, the cliched answer. Did the break come at a good or a bad time for Motherwell? That's what they always ask, isn't it? What does it mean?
I think it was a good time. We got a lot of positive recognition. Boys getting called up, obviously Lennon as well, but also Kai Andrews going away with Wales. So I think came a good time. The manager getting more time to put in his, implement his plans and what he's looking for, and not, I think, a lot of excitement for the next three games. As we said, a lot to play for. The top six, I think there's probably about seven teams that can finish in the top six and obviously cannot be in it. So it'll be a good end to the post-split, and then obviously hopefully we'll be in the top six.
Keep it a good time for the Motherwell kit, man, didn't he? Imagine how long it takes to wash and iron 34 sets of training gear. 34 kids out there, the biggest squad in the world.
I was going to say, spoken like a man in his 30s who's just happy for a break. A few years ago he'd been desperate to keep going.
A break, anyway. You should have seen what we'd done Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Put through your paces, were you, by the new manager?
We were definitely put through our paces. It was the toughest I've had in a while.
Good on, good, that's what I like to hear. That's music to my ears, that, right? 01419511025. Like we said, if you'd rather go club football, you're more than welcome. But my goodness, there is a lot to get through on the Scotland front. So let's hear it all. What did you make of it? 01419511025. Let's dive straight in then on that with Nadim, who called first up. Hi, Nadim.
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not bad, you?
Okay, I suppose. I suppose I'm angry. I've seen the producer there before I came on there, Gordon, that it's been the first time in a long time. I think I'm more angry than I am.
Right, hold on. Nadim's line's a bit ropey. Let's see if we can I always say that. I don't really know what the producer does. It's not as if he's a magician who can clear up phone lines. But let's try and see what we can do in getting Nadeem back on whilst we're waiting. Why don't we hear from Steve Clark? He says he hopes last night's 3-0 loss to Greece is just a bump in the road.
We didn't play how we can play, and the best team on the night won. To finish such a positive Nations League campaign on such a low note and such a poor performance is something that will hurt the players, so they'll go away. We've got plenty of time to stew on it before our next competitive game. Listen, like I said, we've had a decent run. This is a bump in the road. If there's one thing I've learned over my time in charge of the national team is there are bumps in the road. It's how you react to it. We have to react to this one, and we know what we're trying to do, which is qualify for the World Cup.
Let's try again, Nadeem. Take it away. You said you were angry.
More angry than I am disappointed or embarrassed, I suppose, John, when you use the word. I suppose the producer was happy 300 pounds.
Oh, no! I can't hear what Nadeem's saying. It all sounds good as well.
He sounds angry. £300 to go to the game.
I can hear angry. Ah, my goodness. We'll just get angry. He's angry. I kept hearing angry. Is that it won't be the last we'll hear of that, Roger Hannah. No, what was your overview?
It's strange at Hampden because, you know, there were people booing and jeering at the end, but a lot had left, and that's very unlike the Tartan Army. I don't know whether it was a timing on a Sunday night, and they just thought, oh, you know, I'm heading up the road, but there was a kind of apathy, and that's the one thing you can't really accuse the supporters of during the Steve Clark reign. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Stephen here will tell you, he was at the Euros in 2021, we've been back at the Euros in 2024. Steve Clark, these players, Stephen among them, has re-engaged the national team with the Tartan Army after many, many years in the doldrums. You know, we used to do these shows in international breaks, Gordon. You can hardly get enough callers to fill the 2 hours. There was just apathy towards the national team. Mm. Folk couldn't be bothered picking up the phone to talk about it. But since Steve Clark's been there in 6 years, he's been there, he really has re-engaged the team with the fans. And they've done well, and they've linked up together. Last night was a sort of glimpse back to the bad old days, and I don't think any of us liked it.
Gary is on the other line. How are you, Gary?
Hi, good Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Stephen and Roger.
Hi, Gary.
Hope you're all well.
What have you got for us, Gary?
So, I phoned you on Friday night to wax lyrical about Steve Clark and the performance, and you actually said to me, do we need to do anything different? And I said, no, it'll be a different game. Greece won't have as much of the ball. And that's why I'm phoning in, and I'm not a pundit. last night was just like Roger just said, there was a throwback to what we became used to. But I've got two main points. First one is, and again I mentioned them on Friday night, Ralston, and then you can go with Hanley and another couple. Seem to be taking the kind of flack and the mainstream of the flack about last night's result. Football fans have short memories. We all know that Ralston and Hanley, and by the way, no many in your squad are world class. But last night was a full team that were just under par. So can we just get away from blaming Alston and Hanley and their inclusion, and that's what caused it? It was just a bad performance all round. That's my first point.
Is that fair, Stephen? Did it feel like a night that just not a lot went right, really? Because inevitably, I always think it makes it easier for people if they've got one thing to blame. That's just the way it is now. So it's all the manager's fault, or it's all Anthony Alston's fault, it's all Grant Hanley's fault. But really, for it to be as bad as it was last night, it kind of means that a lot went wrong at the same time.
Yeah, no, look, well, I think if I go back to Thursday before the game, I was fully expecting a back five because Ben Doak, who is our out-and-out kind of winger, creative spark in the final third, can get at people. We don't have many players that are Scottish or eligible to play for Scotland that can do that. So I thought that was the first thing I was a bit surprised at. Then we go and we have a very good first half. We get the lead, had a couple other chances, and then second half Greece started really kind of screw the nut, and they were a good side. You could see why they went to Wembley and won. We obviously think we could get back to Hampden. Was I expecting a 3-0 defeat? No. Did I expect it to be close? Yes. And I was just a bit surprised because, again, you've got so many bodies that have played a lot of games. It's getting to that end of the season. Maybe are people a bit leggy. Andy Robertson plays. I know he's not been playing as much, but plays a lot of football. John McGinn. These guys are playing two times a week, and you kind of go, do they need freshened up? But then you argue, then do you bring in Kieran Tierney, who's not been playing much game time? Tony, do you replace him with Max Johnston? But there's no right or... It's hard to... In hindsight, it's great. In hindsight, I'd have went to back five after the 1-0 defeat and do we maybe hang on, maybe get the midfielders to play in a box. But that's football, and that's where Steve Clark's got a really tough job, because the 4-3-3 worked well, worked very well with the wingers, but you had Ben Doak as a kind of creative spark, and I think we just massively missed him, especially at Hampden.
Players all off it last night, really, Roger, because as Gary says, yeah, there are some that are maybe easy targets to some people, or maybe to others they're symptomatic of an era that needs shifted on, so we'll get through that between now and 8 o'clock. But even the reliable ones weren't reliable last night. The good ones weren't good.
You look to the McTominays and McGinns for a creative spark. They were miles off it last night. Ryan Christie, listen, people will say he's in that holding role at Bournemouth and he's doing superbly well. Why don't they play him there? But he's always played well for Scotland, that advanced role. He didn't play well last night. The captain didn't play well last night. Kieran Tierney's come off the bench a couple of times, hasn't played particularly well in either game. So a lot of players were off it last night, and when Greece play the way that Greece did, then they've got the ability to, you know, the ability to go and win at Wembley. I think they get 15 points in their group in the Nations League, which would have won any other group at any other level in the Nations League. They were just unlucky, they lost out with goal difference to England. So they're a decent side. They've got one of Europe's elite young talents in Karetsis, if I'm saying that correctly, and the better team won over the two legs, Gordon.
Where did it go wrong then, Gary? Because that's fine to stick up for individuals and say that they're easy targets, but a lot went wrong. So what did?
We were kind of lulled into a false sense of security with the first half away in Greece. Maybe thought we were closer to the level than we actually are. But I don't know, you can have off nights. And by the way, Scotland playing well or not playing well doesn't rely on somebody like Anthony Ralston. So maybe the fingers were pointed more at these bigger players who need to play well to influence our game and influence the way we play. Listen, every club teams have these nights. Every team has them. It was flat. It felt flat right from the very start. That is what it is. Greece are a better team, and they showed that for three quarters of that tie.
Sometimes you feel different in the stadium, Roger. I think that the weird thing was, I thought they actually did start the game okay. And kind of went forward a couple of not brilliant. Not creating loads. We say it all the time about like the importance of like when you concede. So 1-0, the tie's level. Even you go 2-0 at half time, you think, well, you know you need a goal to take it to extra time. If you concede within 13 seconds of the second half, you're then 3-0 behind to a very good team that we've established. You've next to no chance to breaking them down. I mean, at that point, you would be as well drawing a line under it.
You could have blown the final whistle and gone up the road for songs of praise at that stage. It was gone. A sort of tweet from the SFA that's been retweeted many times today. You know, 46 minutes, 0-2. Come on, Scotland, it's all to play for. And 15 seconds later, they were retweeting. You know, they're tweeting it was 0-3. That finished the game. It was done. I just thought, you know, it's difficult to put all the blame at Steve Clark's door. You look at the selection, all of these guys have served them well over a period of time. All of these guys, with the exception of Christie, who was suspended, served them well in Piraeus on Thursday night. We probably got away with one on Thursday. There was some, you know, big defending. We got a penalty that might not have been given by other referees. We got the Greek penalty was correctly overturned for the free kick in the edge of the box and they didn't score from it. So we sort of rode our luck a wee bit on Thursday. Were outclassed completely yesterday. But listen, don't expect Steve Clark to make wholesale changes. This is going to be his last year or 18 months as Scotland manager. He will stick loyally to the guys who have served him well. And if you're waiting on Grant Hanley being binned in favour of some 19-year-old centre-half, or Kenny McLean being moved out for some 18-year-old central midfielder, it ain't happening anytime soon.
I disagree with that. It's a myth. He bins his favourites eventually, doesn't he?
Exactly. It takes him a wee bit longer sometimes, depending on how much you're a favourite. I think you're being one a bit harsh in Steve Clark. I think who are you wanting to play instead of him?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So it's like, I've always had this argument, is who would you put in the squad ahead of Tony, who, by the way, had been doing really well in the back four in the previous good run at the end of Group A, which is against the top teams in Europe. Who would you have replaced him with? You give me names that there's nobody standing out. You talk about your Nathan Patersons and Hickey. They're not available now. They're not fit enough. And yeah, are they top players? Yes. But they're not available. And then you go centre-backs. Okay, right. So you don't want to play Grant. He's passed it, if that's what you want. I know he's not been playing too much. Grant's served him well. He was also part of the good games against the top teams in the Group A. And then you go, right, so Scott McKenna, you could play Scott, you could play Porteous, you could play. But if he plays Porteous, it's going to get levelled what happened the last game he played.
Yeah.
There's always a yin and a yang. And I just think it becomes very difficult. The first 20 minutes.
Can he pick yang? Who's been kicked?
Don't imagine Hugh Keevans. I would tip him over the edge.
South Korea have capped him. You kind of get him.
The first 20 minutes, there wasn't much at all in the game. I thought Scotland started well, and their break that through came from a slip. Kenny slipped, which then dragged Kenny McLean slipped, which then dragged Billy Gilmore across, and nobody was in the space to stop the cutback. That's the level we're at, that these margins matter. And it's, yes, if it's 0-0, 20 minutes in, they don't score if Kenny doesn't slip. And that's nothing to do with age. That's nothing to do with footwear. I'm pretty sure they've been wearing metals. That's just these things can happen. And they're that good a side, Greece, that they'll punish you. And they did. And they done it again with the second goal. Fired into Kretsas, who's worth 40 million, by the way. We talk about our young players who are worth five. Ben Doak worth, what, maybe 20? Is that the figure they brand out down there? 40 million is his buyout clause at 17. Mm. And they think that could be matched. This is the quality you're up against.
You've gone through these... double headers. I thought it was noticeable that Jukanovic totally wielded the axe after Thursday's game, made wholesale changes to the Greek side, dumped the likes of Tsimikas, experienced players. They looked fresher and brighter. Is it hard to play Thursday night away from home and then come back and play Sunday afternoon at home? Is there a physical and a mental pressure on players that, you know, would lead you to think maybe teams should be freshened up more?
Look, I think you can freshen it up. But I also think the players are capable of performing. I think hindsight's great, and in hindsight, I would have, obviously you would have made changes. But if you drop the likes of John McGinn, who's played a lot of football, to say you're rested, do you think he's going to be happy? I don't know, maybe he is. But he's going to say, no, Gaffer, I'm ready to go, because he wants to play for Scotland. Mm-hmm. He wants to perform. If a player turns around and goes, Gaffer, you're right, I don't think you're going to turn. Like, I think I heard Ferguson talking about it last week. Tiredness is a mental state. Yeah. I'm not saying it is, because you can be physically tired, but it's up to the manager, the medical staff, to make these calls, and they know them in and out, inside out. We don't.
Let's bring in Stevie. We'll thank Gary for his time. Stevie, take it away. What's your point tonight?
Hi guys. Just that I couldn't have been more disappointed with the performance last night, and I just feel like Steve Clarke's a manager who is out of touch with his squad. He's out of touch with modern football, and you look at his selection and the players he had in the team, and even the way we played. It felt lazy. It felt like it lacked inspiration, and I really don't see how he's going to get anything better out of that team when he keeps picking people like McLean and Hanley, who were the best one in the world. Their days are past. They're just not top players.
See the difficulty with it, Stevie, because let's cut to the chase here. There will be thousands of people nodding in agreement with you, so I've got no desire to change your mind. But if you were Steve Clarke or you were his bosses, you would probably listen and say, but that didn't seem to be an issue when they drew with Portugal, beat Croatia, beat Poland and beat Greece in the four games leading up to this. So it's quite a difficult time, isn't it? Like, we had this conversation after the Euros, which again was valid, crashed out the Euros, really disappointing. Is it time for Steve Clarke to go? To have that conversation tonight after those four, like, do you know what I mean? Was Kenny... even if he was bad last night, and I'm not saying he was Kenny McLean bad in those four games? Was Grant Hanley bad? No, they weren't. They were good, and that's what got Scotland the results. I think it's quite a difficult time.
But I don't think you can pick players on past performances. You've got to pick them on current form. That's the whole... Every other international team does it. We've got players like Lewis Ferguson perform at the top of the games, left on the bench for Kenny McLean, who, with the best will in the world, is not performing well for Norwich. So Grant Hanley, who's not playing for Birmingham... can't, and Scott McKenna, who, okay, he's cost us in the past, but still he's playing every week in Las Palmas.
I'm not actually sure that's the case.
What?
That other international teams pick players on form.
They don't, that's the thing. And it's a complete myth.
Just south of the border to Thomas Tuchel. You're not telling Henderson me Jordan Henderson, Kyle Walker, Marcus Rashford are the best form players in England
at the
minute.
Of course not. Every country
he's picking them rightly or wrongly for a reason. And the reason is Thomas Tuchel's been brought in to win the World Cup. And he's not interested in 18 or 19 year olds who are going to get good in 3 or 4 years' time, because he's only going to be in the job for 15 months and then he'll go to Barcelona or somewhere. So he wants people who will win now. Steve Clarke wants people who will win now. You know the thing, you know that I think the biggest error of the past fortnight has been, Gordon, Steve Clarke saying he probably isn't hanging around beyond this campaign, because when managers do that, it sends out the wrong message to their players, even if it's subconsciously. That players, the older generation of players, start thinking, he's leaving. What does this mean for me? Am I going to be playing in the next campaign? Probably not, because a new guy will come in and want younger players. And it just, that wee seed seeps into squads. I don't think it's the, it was a positive message for Steve Clarke to send out prior to this doubleheader.
I would 100% agree with you at club level. I don't know if that's going to have that big an effect at the national level.
So after just, a World Cup qualification campaign anyway, won't it? So
I'd imagine some boys are going to be thinking, I think boys are going to be, if that's what they're thinking, they're going to say, I can give this one last crack, I will give it everything. So it couldn't matter if nobody was a manager, they're going to turn up and they're going to give everything. That's what I think. I could be wrong.
Stevie, the thing is, I take your point, you know, keep picking it on past results, but I was referring to like Thursday, you know, I wasn't referring to like the distant past. I'm talking about this notion that Kenny McLean or Grant Hanley, and they always just seem to be those two. I'm not saying they're the future. I'm not even saying I would have picked them last night. What I'm saying is, if you're Steve Clarke and you think, well, they did a job on Thursday. Do you know what I mean? On Friday night, we didn't get any calls on Friday saying this is a disgrace and they're over the hill.
I take the point, but I also wouldn't say that the first leg performance was all that good either. I think we got away with one to a greater or lesser extent. And, you know, to be fair, it's not this is not something that's come out of nowhere. We did have a bad run of results before we had those three wins. So there has been a bit of a trend, and it has been uninspiring, and that's why Hampden emptied. People are they're just seeing the same story. He doesn't know how to change games, and their second halves have been dreadful.
Yeah.
And that comes down to the manager, because he's the one that takes the team in the dressing room at halftime and is supposed to inspire them, and the opposite is happening.
Yeah, listen, that's why it is important, Roger, because the manager will always take the flak eventually. You know, managers will lose their job eventually, and they know that when they get themselves into it. So is it because they weren't inspired, or is it because 13 seconds in it a player individually picks a really terrible pass? Is that balance you're always trying to strike? Steve Clarke eventually will pay the price for this stuff, that's fine.
Yeah.
Stevie will get his wish, but I'm not sure when that was. It Ryan Christie, by the way, I don't mean to dig him out, but when he goes 13 seconds in and he rolls it straight to Greece for score, it's kind of difficult to know how much that's the manager's fault.
Yeah, and I think standards and expectations have been raised among the Tartan Army by Steve Clarke. Wasn't that long ago we were sitting here debating Nations League games against Israel and Albania, and we've left all that behind. And we were in a group there among the elite. We were in the two, can't get any higher. That two promotions we've had under Steve Clarke in this Nations League, and it's got us right up there. And it's a bit like, I'm thinking in my feet here, Livingston. Livingston were in League One, and they got promoted to the Championship. And they got promoted to the Premiership. And eventually, you don't get found out, but eventually
catches up with you.
It catches up when you come back down. I think things just caught up with Scotland a wee bit last night. But look at Livingston. They might get back up.
Yeah.
Scotland could maybe get back up. I don't think it'll be under Steve Clarke, though.
Because I suppose on that, in the Nations League A, getting promoted and doing okay and finishing third, is there a sort of cruel irony here for Steve Clarke? Let's see if he'd finished fourth in that group. You go straight down, you don't play a playoff, last night never takes place, but you've done worse. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you've actually done worse. You've finished
punished
fourth
for doing better. Only because you lost them, I suppose.
But then, to be fair, we would have had calls back then on a similar theme to this. But
the seeding would have been tougher as well next time around, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think we're in the top pot,
Stevie,
of the draw.
I don't think you'll be alone, Stevie, in your opinion. Thank you for sharing it tonight. We'll do more of that when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde
One
Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. Get those calls in right now. Steve Clarke says Scotland lacked energy, but believes there is a silver lining from last night's heavy home defeat.
No, after my time in the game, it's better not to use the kind of words. It's to look at the performance and be objective about it. We didn't have enough energy in the team. Greece had more energy. We were a little bit sharper, so could have done with a few more legs in the team, to be honest. It might work in our favour, actually, because we have to do a similar trip in November out to Greece, so maybe we weren't quite recovered in time for the game. Not everybody, but some people. So, yeah, it's something that I can certainly look at and try and address.
0141 951 1025 is the number as always, at Clyde SSB if you'd rather tweet. I'm still waiting for that one person. I thought there would be one by now who goes, I'm already sick of international football and let's talk about domestic stuff. But we've got a post-mortem to carry out here, because that was fairly grim last night, whether you watched it in the stadium or at home behind the sofa. Tell us what minute you turned off on, because it wasn't great.
You couldn't watch it behind the sofa because there's no commentary to listen to.
Oh, I did hear about this, but I was at the game, so I couldn't possibly comment. I heard that you were taking to Twitter to try and be funny about it.
No, I'm not funny.
Right, okay. Get the calls in. David's next on. How are you, David?
Hey, I'm fine, lads. How about you?
Good, thank you. What are you making of all this then?
I think Steve Clarke's wasting Scotland's second Golden Generation. If you think about who's in the team, who's missing out, midfield, you could argue, is probably one of the best in the tournament. Defensively, we're actually okay. It's just up front, we just need a decent striker. Under any other manager, this team would be doing much better. I honestly think we've got the bones there to make a decent run in these tournaments. Obviously, qualifying for them should be a lot easier. It seems like Steve Clarke gets a lot of free passes because he got his pay back-to-back tournaments. And what I'm concerned about now is the team and the players we've got to pick from. Steve Clarke is not the man to get the best out of this team.
Roger, is this the golden generation that are being wasted?
Well, he's got us the back-to-back Euros. Stephen was at one. We played again there last year. You were out in Germany for it, Gordon. Prior to that, we hadn't been anywhere since 1998. So Steve Clarke, when he goes, and it'll be the end of the World Cup campaign, he can hold up his record and it will stand comparison with anyone. So he hasn't wasted a generation.
Fine. If that's over the top, David's score is the players he has, they should be doing so much better then, I think.
Better than what? We've achieved, this group has achieved two promotions in the Nations League together to get into the top tier. They were playing some of the best players. Ronaldo was at Hampden, Modric was at Hampden, Lewandowski was at Hampden in that last group. Now, if we're saying that time after time after time, Scotland should be in that elite Nations League group, that's a stretch. Look at the sides who were competing in the quarterfinals of the Nations League last night. You know, you're now going into a semi-final where Germany play Portugal and Spain play France. They're better than us.
And France only beat Croatia on penalties. Yeah. You would say we won one and lost one, didn't we, against them?
They're better than us. So I think, you know, for the size of country we are, for the footballers we've got, for where our clubs stand in European competition, I think we'll probably bounce between tier one and tier two, and we'll just need to be happy with it.
David, you say, you know, it's maybe just up front, but I wonder if it's more than that. I'll try and be polite because I don't want to be harsh on any of the players who have done well, but we currently have a 42-year-old goalkeeper and no one really playing first team football behind him. All the callers are on moaning that the right back currently is Celtic's second choice right back, and that one of the defenders has been in and out the Birmingham team this season. So is it not actually a squad that is good in some areas but has challenges in others? You know, you're making out as if we've got this brilliant squad that from back to front.
I mean, for me, I do think we have got a good squad. If everybody's fit and everybody's available, I do think our squad's quite good. The people are just starting to come into it now. Lewis Ferguson, absolute baller in Italy. Billy Gilmore, doing good things. Scott McTominay again, balling in Italy. Andy Robertson lifted the Premier League with Liverpool. John Searle, talk of the Euros are now keeping big teams out of Rangers' goal. I could go on and on and on. It just seems like, oh well, Steve Clarke's got his back-to-back tournaments, we should be happy with that. Is that the sum of our ambition, to just get to tournaments and then get scuddy daffy everybody? Is that where we are as a nation? Should we not be thinking, right, if we can get to these tournaments, can we not actually do something in them? I think it was like one game we won out of all these tournaments we've got to. That's embarrassing. I'd actually rather know
qualify for the tournaments if you're just going to get scudded by everybody.
That's not the way. That's not the way it works either, though, is it? Because then you say you can't get us to tournaments. So now we've dreamt up that we'd rather not be there. That's when it falls apart, surely.
Yeah. Look. Well, first of all, you touched on a golden generation. So the generation before the one that's qualified for the two competitions is McGregor, Gordon, Marshall. Your three goalkeepers. I think that seems pretty golden. You've got Premiership Hutton, Caldwell, Weir, Alexander. Pretty good back four. All Premiership or Scott Celtic or Rangers. Yeah. Maloney, Brown, Fletcher, Ferguson. Come on. Like, I think you're being pedantic saying a golden generation. It's a good team. The team has quality players. International football with Scotland has always had players that maybe aren't quite at the level that need to try and step up. And then you need to rely on your top players performing to get us over the line. Right, so I don't think it's a golden generation. I think we're a very talented group, have some very, very good players. We're a wee bit top heavy in centre mids, which is fortunate and unfortunate, but that's again part of the management of international football. You need to try and find a system that suits it. We then flip to your next point. Look, if you would rather be watching Germany and having no interest in it, the Euros last year, then that's your prerogative, David. But I know the excitement I had going into every game, excited to see how we'd compete against teams that I thought we could compete against, bar in Germany, then I think it's a sad state of affairs if you'd rather us not be there. I think we've acquitted ourselves. We maybe didn't quite improve in the manner we'd have liked to in the last Euros, because we were hoping to pick up a win versus the draw in the previous one. So we only got the same points total, which was disappointing. But again, we're playing in Switzerland, who have bags and bags of European experience. We don't have that competition experience because we were out for so long because of generations before that didn't qualify. So every single player, that was our second tournament at the most. And again, I'm hoping that we're going to be stronger for it. And I think the tail end of the Group A, we did show we're stronger for it. And again, last night was disappointing and maybe just a slight hangover from what was a very good result in Greece.
Thank you, David. Andy in Drumchapel is coming up after these.
Oh my god.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
It's not a bad shout, that team, is it?
How would £500,000 change your life, eh? That would cheer you up after a difficult night and the rest. Now you can get the answer by entering Cash Dash now. £500,000 up for grabs. Text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get 5-4-1 on your first text entry. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls were charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this rare network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Someone will win the lot. Text yes to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell are here. Keep the calls coming. Andy's on from Drumchapel. Take it away, Andy.
How you doing, guys? Actually, just out and about the car driving here, and I'm actually quite surprised. Roger Hanna's, I'm agreeing with quite a lot of his points tonight. That's not the usual, but I would just phone up and defend kind of Steve Clarke. I think from where we were when he took over to where we are now is night and day. Some of the results that we've had over his tenure has been brilliant. Some of the nights at Hampden, he certainly lifted the spirits. You know, we're playing really well. Granted, it was disappointing Sunday night. I would say that I don't think there was one player that had a pass mark. You know, watching that game, he looked tired and flat. And I think the proof's in the pudding there, that when we lost the third goal, he was straight onto the substitutions to start, you know, try to change things up a wee bit. So I think that kind of cost us a wee bit with the third goal, straight away in the second half. He obviously had a game plan there, but, you know, Greece are a great side, and I'm not sure what some of the fans on, you know, phoning up and complaining are wanting. Like, if Steve Clarke was to go, who do we get to replace him? You know, we end up going back a few steps. I think he's still got a great record since he's been our manager, and we're lucky to have him. So it's just an off night by all the players.
I always think the timing of these discussions, Roger, is quite important, because after the Euros we had it, and it was relevant. Do we go again with Steve Clarke? That was the question, yeah. And it was a relevant discussion. We are, as we said earlier, we're about to get into a World Cup qualification campaign, at the end of which his contract ends. So he'll either get Scotland to the World Cup, and by the way, you're nearly in statue territory if you lead them to a World Cup on the back of 2 Euros. And if he doesn't, probably won't get a new contract anyway. He says he's 75% sure he walks away at the end. So it feels like this is just all going to reach a natural conclusion. What are the chances? I know there's going to be loads of it, and I get it, and passions run high, and actually it's intensified with international football because it comes along so often. What are the chances that Steve Clarke genuinely gets sacked because of last night on the back of 4 results against Portugal, Croatia, Poland, and Greece? It is so unlikely, and I know that might not be what people want to hear, but think about it. Look at the way this contract situation, this is all coming to an end at some point. It's not today.
You'd love to see the statue, wouldn't you? They say when you do a statue, the hardest part's to get the smile right. Wouldn't have to worry about that with Steve Clarke, would you? Listen, he deserves a chance. He's taken Scotland to 2 Euros. He deserves the chance to lead Scotland to a first World Cup in what would be 28 years. If he gets Scotland there, regardless of how we would perform in North America next year, he would go then. If we don't get Scotland there, he'll go in November at the end of these qualifiers, I think we're safe to say. I assume the SFA are doing things properly. They're doing their due diligence on potential successors. The manager, I wasn't a fan of the public, you know, pronouncement he made, but he made it. So he has basically put his employers on notice that he's ready to go. So you would assume they're already looking for potential next Scotland manager.
Having said that, was there a scenario where the Nations League could have been so bad that he then didn't get the World Cup qualifiers and went into League A? We knew it was going to be tough. Let's say Scotland had been battered every time, finished bottom, you know, really, really thumped.
He would have needed to make that decision, I think. I don't think the SFA would have sacked him.
But to be fair, as we can say, that did not happen, did it? That's the thing, and it goes back to what we said. Would they have survived finishing fourth in the Nations League group?
Yeah, probably, because you're in that elite.
And then this playoff last night doesn't actually take place.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Stephen, eventually you do need to go with your own risen expectations, do you not?
Look, I think it all depends how the Nations League had panned out. And a lot of the cry in the Euro after the Euros was the back five was dated. We have these creative players like Ben Doak. Can we get them in the team in a 4-3-3? And he, I'm not saying he listened to the uproar, but he was maybe aware of it, just wasn't quite ready. Ben Doak also pulled out of the Euros, if I'm right. Was that a hamstring injury? Mm-hmm. So you then go, okay, well, he's adjusted. We were playing really good football. I went to two of the home games, really enjoyed them. We were competitive against the top table in Europe, which is where we wanted to be. And then we got the results that the previous, and by the way, the result games weren't necessarily the best performances, but we got results, and it made it, the narrative very, very positive versus what was a positive kind of group. Why would we jump the gun then? So the Mr. Maxwell's watching these games develop. Why would after one game, one bad performance, knee jerk to any crazy decisions? We need to stay calm. The manager's very good at it, and again, whenever everybody's fit, if everyone's fit, come the friendlies, which I know it's always difficult in the summer, but I expect to see hopefully a more creative 4-3-3.
That said, Andy, was last night not so bad that it's really flipped everyone's optimism for the World Cup qualification? Because we're going to play Greece again twice, and we saw what they did to us there over the two legs.
Well, I think it's only so bad based on the performances that the team's put in previously. That's the kind of, for a long time, that was the standard of Scotland, but One sort of criticism I would have is that Greece made 6 changes for that game last night. So when I heard that when I was driving about in the radio before I got it on the TV, I knew they were going to be up against it. That's 6 players that has got fresher legs. So that's maybe one little criticism we could have said, that we could have maybe get some fresh legs on in some of the positions. But like you say, like Roger said earlier, he'll know his own players, and I'm sure every one of those players was wanting to play last night. I didn't think we were as physical as we probably could have been. The first 20 minutes of the game last night, I was quite impressed. You know, McTominay's created a few chances. He's hit the side of the net. And if I remember rightly, their keeper's pulled off one good save. And then after that, the keepers looked a bit dead in their feet and were second to every ball. So I kind of felt maybe we should have changed some players for the game just to keep it a bit fresher. But the players were more than capable. I don't blame Steve Clark, and I don't blame the players either, but I think just the two games in such a short period of time was maybe just too much of an ask against a team like Greece.
Again, Roger, whether it is because he's... Well, it has to be partly because he's raised the bar and so on, but that does that go down as... Is that maybe the worst home competitive result or performance, certainly under Steve Clark? Ukraine springs to mind, the other playoff.
Yeah.
There have been many nights like that at Hampden, haven't
there? No, there haven't been...
Competitive, anyway.
Competitive home results, yeah. I mean, you think back to the friendly when Northern Ireland won last year. That didn't matter too much. No, it was pretty dismal in terms of, you know, the expectations were so high. We had one in Piraeus on Thursday night. There was that chance to stay among the elite. There is that little bit of kudos. It would have been a nice draw against, you know, the Frances, the Spains, the Germanys. You're better off having these teams coming to Hampden. But we are where we are. We're back into Tier 2. There's not going to be any of these games now, I think, until late on 2026. So we can part the Nations League. We'll see a draw that might get us Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, might get us Sweden, it might get us Ukraine again, it might get us Austria, teams like that. So if you say they're more of our level, then I would accept that, and it offers us the opportunity for promotion. Let's get back in among the top tier.
But then that is that the cutthroat level that you need to deal with, Stephen? Because we're talking about, you know, being at our level. We didn't look out of our depth in Nations League A. We've now been relegated from it by way of a playoff. Do you know what I mean? I think there was a feeling out there that Scotland would go up, get properly battered, then everybody would say, you don't belong in Nations League A. It just feels like progressing, but just not quick enough.
Look, I'd maybe liken it to Rangers in Europe just now. They are playing against teams they're maybe not expected to dominate against, and they're finding it maybe a bit more comfortable. It's a bit more easier to play in the games. So up in Group A, that's what it's like. Down in Group B, it will be more like playing at league level for Rangers, and it's maybe a bit tougher because you're expected to dominate. You need to get more creative. It was the criticism levelled. I think Germany playing a back five against a team of that stature wouldn't be a massive negative, but it was another games against Switzerland and Hungary where the criticism came. So it'll be interesting to see how Group B develops. Obviously, we've got the World Cup qualifiers to look forward to before that, but I think we can compete. This squad has shown we are good enough to compete with anyone. Doing it consistently is going to be tough, and it's the jump that the gaffer needs to help manage, and it's the players need to step up to.
What needs to change though, Andy, and even if it is, so if by the sounds of it, you don't think it's as bad as everyone's saying, but there must be the odd tweak here or there you'd want to see before a World Cup qualifying campaign.
Well, I think he needs to start using some of these friendlies to bring some of the younger boys in. I think Grant Hanley and McLean had all right games last night. I mean, there was no pass marks for me. But in times going by, they're the boys that have helped win some of these games. But everybody knows they're coming to the end of their tenure, so we need to be a bit proactive there at getting some of the younger boys in to sort of make these replacements and the friendlies, and maybe the Group Nations is kind of where maybe he should have been doing that. But we'll see what happens. I still think we can get this campaign out of them. Do you know what I mean? And for guys that haven't been playing regular for the club, you can't turn around and tell me that they haven't turned up and given, you know, their best. There wasn't one per... I tell you, the worst player I thought last night, and, you know, he's one of my favourites, it was the captain. Robertson was, I thought, at fault for the second goal. He was all over the place. His passes were going astray. So that just says to me that there was a tired team. You know, it was maybe just a wee bit too much to ask.
Fair enough. Thank you to Andy. It takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you know, Stephen O'Donnell, you're top of the Beat the Pundit table?
2 wins.
Because you've played once, I think, and won once this season, though.
Well, this season,
100% record.
You know, if Motherwell finished in the bottom six, the manager can actually blame you and Halliday for spending too much time in quizzes, not enough time in football.
We're actually scrubbing him from the record because we're going to introduce a minimum appearance threshold. But anyway,
that's not my problem.
It's a bit
it's your problem, not getting me on.
It's usually harder on a Monday night because Andy Halliday's next to Roger Hanna. Stephen's here for the taking tonight. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to call, we've had a bit of a spread actually, a bit of balance after last night's debacle, and it was that at Hampden. We've had a few saying that was terrible, embarrassing, pathetic, and Steve Clark must go. And we've had a couple saying, well, actually, up until last night, hadn't been too bad, and look at where we've come and all that sort of stuff. So which side of the fence do you sit on? Give us a call, please. If there's anything else out there, maybe something from the Championship tickled your fancy over the weekend, or you want to talk domestic football, that's fine. Whatever it is, you tell us right now whilst we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it's a new week on Beat the Pundit. I've noticed we've been getting through quite a lot of tiebreakers recently.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's cagey. Is that what you would call it? Cagey affairs? Yeah. Low scoring. Mm-hmm. Andy did get his 10 last week, last Monday
he
though,
did.
Didn't he?
Absolutely. Highlight milked, of his week.
Milked to that for all it was worth. So let's see how we go tonight with Kyle in Cambus Lang. How are you, Kyle?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
Good, thank you, Kyle. Have you ever played before?
No, I just play at home.
Good, and how does that usually go?
Actually, usually quite good.
Oh, quite
good. Quite confidence, Kyle. That's what I like.
Aye.
Look, Roger Hanna is so formidable that he starts on -2. Do you think that does open the door for you? Have you got a bit of pace in your locker? Fire through enough questions to make him pay on -2?
I'd say so. I'm usually keeping up with the pundits, so I'm not too bad.
Love it. I love Stephen O'Donnell looks worried to me, quite frankly. Heads, it will be Stephen O'Donnell. He's in the head seat. Tails, it will be Roger Hanna. And it's heads. Stephen O'Donnell against Kyle in Cambus Lang. So what we'll do here is give Stephen something else to listen to so that he can't hear us. Kyle, I'm sure you know the way it works. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And if you fancy passing and moving on, that's fine. You don't need to guess an answer. You can pass, okay? You ready?
No problem, yeah.
Good man.
Yeah,
right, 30 ready, seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Which player made their Scotland debut last night?
Wilson.
How many Celtic players were called up to the Japan squad?
Three.
Which Rangers player made their Belgium debut last week?
Raskin, Nick Raskin.
How many points are Falkirk clear in the Championship?
10.
How many managers have been replaced in the Scottish Premiership this season?
5.
Who won the Sky Sports Cup at the weekend?
Rangers.
Other than Scotland, name any other country relegated to Nations League B.
Armenia.
Okay.
I didn't even mean to say that. I meant to say Albania.
Let's bring in Stephen O'Donnell. Can you hear us? Yes. You ready?
That seemed a long time. But
good. Same. It's the same 30-second clock we've been playing for like 10 years. Are you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Which player made their Scotland debut last night?
Striker Wilson.
How many Celtic players were called up to the Japan squad?
1.
Which Rangers player made their Belgium debut last week?
Raskin.
How many points are Falkirk clear in the Championship?
11.
How many managers have been replaced in the Scottish Premiership this season?
4.
Who won the Sky Sports Cup at the weekend?
Rangers.
Other than Scotland, name any other country relegated to Nations League B.
Oh, don't know.
Could you just guess the country? Any country?
Don't want to embarrass me with that.
Chuck something out there and see what sticks. That's an inexperienced player, that, for me, Roger.
Gordon Dale, when I shouted Brazil.
Just name a country and then see, well, a European country if you
America.
Can. America. And see what happens. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow. Because, you know, he, to be fair, as anyone would, but in particular, I think he struggles with his you know, the fame that this show brings and people recognise him and see him places. I got sent pictures of him on a Saturday night train home from Glasgow Central the other night. Just someone taking a sneaky picture of him, and he'll hate that, and I can't wait to bring it up with him tomorrow and find out where he was.
Was he a man alone?
It was difficult to tell, is what I'll say. I was zooming in, I was floating around, I was trying to piece it together. I haven't quite managed it yet, but I'll get there. Well, anyway,
I was going to say, what expression was in his face? But he doesn't have any now.
Exactly, the Botox has really kicked in. Let's go through these and find out. Do you know, there's like a talking point of every one of these questions. It's going to take me an hour to go through them. Which player made their Scotland debut last night? James Wilson. You both got it. Scotland's youngest ever.
Yeah, incredible. Well done to the lad. Still at school.
I noticed Scotland tweeted to say he was the youngest of the modern era. Mm-hmm. And then the ever accurate Mr. Scotland's coefficient, who we've had on the show before, yeah, who just seems to know everything. Fair play to him. So actually, he felt that it was just the youngest ever of all time. So
a wonderful achievement for him. Well done.
Again, it's one of those that's going to get lost, obviously, in everything else. And there was an attempt there to give young players a chance, I guess, but it was too little, too late. So anyway, how many Celtic players were called up to the Japan squad? Kyle went 3. Stephen went 1. It's 2 in the middle.
Yeah.
Itati and Maeda.
And they've qualified.
There you go.
They're at the World Cup.
Which Rangers player made their Belgium debut this or last week? It was Nico Raskin. You both got it. You happy with that, Kyle? Is it, you're a Rangers fan, aren't you?
Yeah. He's playing well. I wouldn't say he's... I think your other caller said he's the best midfielder. I wouldn't agree with that enough, but...
Well, this was the best in Scotland last week. But, Roger, like... Rangers eventually getting to that place where Celtic, to be fair, have been in recent seasons, where this stuff can only benefit you. You go there and you do well, you either come back a better player and help your team, or it's the modern way of the world. There's no point in trying to deny it.
Player trading model.
Somebody comes in and buys you.
Yeah. And the whole point of signing Nicholas Raskin when he was signed as a young man was to develop him and sell him on at a big profit. And, you know, only so many people are going to be impressed by Nicholas Raskin when he's bossing it against St Johnstone and Ross County. The real money comes in when he gets a Man of the Match award playing for Belgium against Ukraine, as he did last night, and gets a standing ovation off the pitch, as he did last night. That will put his value up, and that shows why, you know, Rangers are again trying to adopt this player trading model that, you know, others have utilised so well.
2-2 in Beat the Pundit. How many points are Falkirk clear in the Championship? It is 11. Stephen O'Donnell got it and moves 3-2 ahead. Well, they won 2-0 on Saturday, and Roger Hanna's heir dropped points to the Ackies. All over, Roger.
Well, certainly not over this playoffs.
11 points, I just said.
Listen, you will not be asking me that come 2:15 on Saturday, when the place is at fever pitch for Bruni versus Lenny. That's the big game. Producer John thinks Dunfermline will be desperate to win for Lenny. I think Dunfermline will chuck it so he can get closer to Falkirk.
11 points it is. So 3-2 to Stephen O'Donnell. How many managers have been replaced in the Premiership this season? Clement, Kettlewell, Naismith, Levine. And that's where it ends. Stephen O'Donnell gets that as well. Kyle, I cannot believe what I'm seeing here.
Comfortable, Kyle. It was never in doubt.
Who won the Sky Sports Cup at the weekend? You both got Rangers. So
5-0.
Kyle, you're not bad. You've got 3 on the board. Stephen's got 5 on the board. And none of you got the last one. Other than Scotland, the country's relegated. Hungary, Ukraine, Austria. You did Armenia a good service, Kyle. They're thinking they were in Nations League A. That's only for the big teams, like us.
That's a Gordon DL answer, that one.
It's a wee bit. Nah, at least they're in Europe. He would have gone for some other continent. So a 5-3 win for Stephen O'Donnell.
Comfortable.
100% record remains.
Thanks, Kyle, and it does indeed so.
I think I lit a fire under you by suggesting you wouldn't be very good. I think you looked determined. He was red faced. The camera zoomed in on him when he was going through his paces. Anyway,
I've not seen that much determination since he thought he'd beaten Jordan Pickford at Wembley.
That still keeps him awake at night, and me, incidentally. Kyle, thank you very much. That was Kyle in Cambus Lang on 01419511025. Yes, well done to Rangers beating Hibs 5-0 in that Sky Sports Cup as well. I wonder who was in Stephen O'Donnell's locker. That's a big question, because the game was played at Fir Park. So did you need to clear out?
It was really inconvenient. I had to clear it out on Thursday. We were off for a couple of days, and I was having to clear it out. But it was I'm trying to see who it was, but
because there can't be many times that's used as a neutral venue. So you just get the call to say anything you want.
I don't even know who it was, what team it was.
I do know that
Hibs were the home team.
Hibs. Well, because Tony was trying to plug his socks.
Oh, of course he was.
So there was essential socks and his ducat.
All 34 of you can't be in the home dressing room from Monday to Friday. Surely 17 are and 17 are in the away dressing room.
I think we've maybe got the one up in the gym as well. That's where we should maybe get changed to 40 players we've got. Now, we all squeeze in nice and tight. It's a cosy dressing room.
So in the front door, immediately left, is that the first team dressing room?
Yeah.
That was Hibs. That was Hibs dressing room. So there you go. Somebody had the Stephen O'Donnell locker. Imagine it. The honour. It's like when you go to a fancy golf club, you know, and you can sometimes see what famous trophy winner has played there or had that locker.
Vice captain's locker.
Exactly.
I'm sure Lennon Miller was the one they were all jumping
the
towards.
One. Anyway, it was Rangers who won out. Convincing winners 5-0 against Hibs on the day there in that Sky Sports Cup. So well done to all involved.
And if you were in the Hibernian or Rangers teams and you want to phone in and tell us what you found in Stephen O'Donnell, Andy Halliday or Paul McGinn or Tony Watts lockers, you know the number.
I know Andy Halliday's locker for sure. what's he always got sitting in front of him in here?
Oh, yes.
Exactly. His locker's full of it, piled up, those wee tubs. Anyway, he's not here to defend himself, so I won't besmirch his good name anymore. 01419511025. We dipped a toe in there on Beat the Pundit with various other talking points from the weekend. If any of that tickles your fancy, you can do. But of course, last night's debacle is dominating things. Actually, on that, Roger, it was funny because we spoke about Nicholas Raskin.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for those who are not that bothered in international football, sometimes you're just watching to see how your team's players do. Usually, first and foremost, do they come back fit? How worried should Celtic fans be about Kasper Schmeichel?
I think they'd be worried. For those who don't know, injured late on last night playing for Denmark in their defeat to Portugal. He actually started the evening really well. He saved a penalty from Cristiano Ronaldo. It might be the worst penalty I've ever seen taken.
Oh, how bad was it?
It's still got to be saved. Had a very good performance. Looked to hurt a shoulder in extra time. Danes wanted to take him off, didn't have any other substitutes, would have had to get down to 10 men and put an outfield player in goal. He bravely soldiered on. He made a save right at the end. I watched the game, made a save right at the end of extra time and landed, and you could have heard the yell from him at Motherwell Cross Garden, clearly in severe pain. I think there's been, the Danes have said they've x-rayed the shoulder, there are no broken bones, there's an MRI scan planned to look at potential ligament damage. I think in Lisbon Airport, the arm in a sling coming back. So Celtic play Hearts at Parkhead Saturday afternoon. He's played 46 of 47 games for Celtic this season. He's only missed a cup game against Raith Rovers when Viljami Sinisalo made his debut. I would think it would be a big ask for Kasper Schmeichel to face Hearts on Saturday. And, you know, the title's in the bag, but Celtic are pursuing a treble. They have a Scottish Cup semi-final, potentially a Scottish Cup final. These are games Kasper Schmeichel will want to play in.
Yeah, if you have any thoughts on the wider ramifications of the international break, you can get them into us right now on the usual number. Paul has called. How are you, Paul? Hello, Paul.
I'm just wondering the horror in the young women's footballer's face when she's got a locker with sod on it.
That's a very good point. Do you have your initials on your locker?
We don't. No. I don't even. We've got that many players. We don't have enough initials.
You need to share.
A full time job for a man going round changing all the initials.
Exactly. What did you make of last night then, Paul, or the wider discussion?
No, I just think we need to get a bit of perspective about Steve Clark. I mean, you know, as I said to your producer, I mean, the majority of his tenure, he said Lyndon Dykes, can you pronounce him, as his main striker, who's now plowing his trade in League One. You know, he's got Anthony Ralston and Grant Hanley are not playing regularly. And one thing I like about Steve Clark is there is no drama. You know, Kieran Tierney gets dropped. There's no kind of nonsense and silliness that used to be attached to the Scottish national team in days gone by. Everything seems to be very professional. You know, is he boring? Is he great copy for you media guys? Probably not. But I think he's done a really amazing job with what he's, you know, what he's had at his disposal.
Roger, how much attention do you give to the limited areas of the squad, which Paul is highlighting? Because we had other callers on saying, yeah, but there are enough good players in there. This is a golden generation. It should be doing better. Which are you inclined to give more attention to?
Well, moving forward, the two would give attention to are goalkeeper and winger. Craig Gordon's 42. The best will in the world, he's not going to go on forever. On the bench last night, we had Liam Kelly, who's not playing for Rangers, Kieran Slicker, who's not playing for Ipswich. And they were on the bench because Robbie McCrory hasn't been playing for Kilmarnock, Ross Doohan hasn't been playing for Aberdeen, Xander Clark hasn't been playing for Hearts. And you can go on. So there's going to be an opportunity for someone to emerge from the pack. It might be Angus Gunn again if he, you know, once he regains fitness. Maybe Robbie McCrory can get a run again. He struggled with injuries this season. We need to find a goalkeeper. And it alarms me that Ben Doak, when he's missing, not only is Steve Clark not picking a replacement winger, there are no replacement wingers. You know, James Forrest's now 33. He's been injured and out the Celtic team. There are no other options in wide areas. You know, yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the tragic passing of Davy Cooper. When Davy Cooper was in the shake-up for Scotland. You know, he was competing against John Robertson, who'd won two European Cups for that left-wing berth. Now there's Ben Doak or nobody. You know, you really wonder where those fast, creative, attacking players have gone in Scottish football.
Is this where the constant juggling act is, Stephen? Because everybody said after the Euros, ditch that back five. And Steve Clarke did. But helped because Ben Doak then appears, because like how can you not play him? And helped because Kieran Tierney's not there. Kieran Tierney comes back, Ben Doak goes out, and he's still actually, you know, stuck with the back four. He must be constantly trying to find that balance.
That is exactly it. That's the job, I think, trying to work out what players are available to me and what shape suits them best. So maybe a Max Johnson, say, maybe would suit a wing back more than Tony Ralston, or do you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to balance it. Obviously, the manager sees them, goes to watch them regularly, and it's just trying to make that call. And it's very difficult. I think if you're England, for example, and you've got thousands and thousands of top players to pick from, it can become easier. We're not as blessed. We have probably 5-6 very good centre mids, but beyond that, we've not got bags of choices. So when there's one injury, two injuries, and especially I think up front and in the wide areas is where the games are won and lost. You can defend resolutely and nick a goal if you've got that wee spark up top, and we've maybe just been lacking depth in that area. And if a Shea Adams isn't on form, or a London Dykes in the previous years, or Ben Doak the last campaign there in the Group A, it becomes a tough ask.
So it sounds like you're cutting Steve Clarke a bit of slack, Paul, because there's quite a lot of criticism out there at the moment.
You know, again, the previous caller said, who else would you get? You know, I think it's easy to forget the dirty votes and, you know, Burley and Levine, you know, playing a back six and all. You know, we've came a long way and we're not, you know, the problem in this country is the coaching. You know, the lack of facilities, the lack of coaching, you know, compared to England, you've got, you know, St George's Park and a full infrastructure there, and, you know, the whole tier. And we are too geared up, you know, and I'm saying this as a Celtic fan, we're too geared up to the big two in this country, we don't look at the bigger picture. I mean, I was just thinking here, where are the wingers? So somebody like Karim Okwudembele has just been lost to Scottish football because he wasn't bloodied, you know, long enough at Celtic. He was going to be the next big thing. So how many times have we seen somebody like that just comes and then disappears?
It's difficult. You know? It's difficult though, Paul, because I mean, you're talking the next generation. I saw Jude Bonner scored in his debut for the Scotland under 21s on Friday night. So an up and coming player, 19 years of age, but are Celtic fans really expecting Brendan Rodgers to leave out Rio Hatate and give Jude Bonner 6 or 8 games?
Yep.
You know, it's very difficult, because you're right, it would be great for Scottish football. It may not be great for Celtic results or Brendan Rodgers' long-term, you know, job stability. Yeah. You know, at a time when you're chasing a treble.
Are you disappointed, Stephen, that your clubmate Lennon Miller didn't get his debut over this window? James Wilson did.
Look, I'd love to have seen him play, because I think Lennon, if not soon, will be a top player for Scotland in the future. But again, it's he would have learned a lot going away, experiencing the training, the different levels. Talking to him briefly today, he enjoyed it, which is always a good start. And it gets you any nerves out the way that you would have had. There's always going to be a wee apprehension, no matter how confident you are in yourself, about how good the boys are. But what I do know is the group that Steve Clarke created. I think John McGinn touched on it in one of his interviews of different welcomings he's had. It's a good group. It's a group that will look after him, will help him, and if they've got advice, they'll give it to him. And there's probably no better place just now for him to be learning. And hopefully he'll be in the camp in the summer if he stays fit. And hopefully he'll get some minutes then, which is probably an even better environment for him to learn from. Because I don't think I'd have liked him coming on just in that kind of scoreline. Becomes a bit of a tough start, and also something you maybe don't want your debut to be left with.
Yeah, I felt for James Wilson a bit last night, yeah. Roger, because it's good, it's an accolade, it's there. He's Scotland's youngest ever player, and well done to him. But it all got a bit desperate over the piece at that point. You know, it took him a while to get involved. It's absolutely no slight on him, but
yeah, it was not ideal. A front three of James Wilson, George Hurst, and Tommy Conway. Wilson and Conway pushed probably out of position, if I'm being perfectly honest. They were just trying anything at that stage just to get a break of the ball and try and get a foothold in the game. So James Wilson can rightly look back with pride at his achievement, but in terms of the actual game itself, he will have better days playing for Scotland.
Thank you to Paul on 0141 951 1025. It's a good time to call. We will get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hanna are here on 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. It's like a therapy, this, when Scotland have these disappointing nights, and that's probably an understatement. That said, it used to be every time they played, really, over a certain period, and this time they're a bit fewer and further between, but it was poor. So let's pour over it together, and then of course, as the week goes on, get stuck back into the domestic stuff. I've got a good teaser for you tonight. Topical. Grant McIver, however the pronunciation goes, has sent it in. For every letter in the word Scotland, can you name the player with the most Scotland caps whose surname begins with that letter? So for every letter in the word Scotland,
goodness me,
can you name the player with the most Scotland caps whose surname begins with that letter? Do you want to do it in order? Why not?
Kenny Dalglish.
Well, that's not an order, is it? Never mind.
It's an order of caps.
Oh, right. But D's the last letter. You see what I mean here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Leighton. Jim Leighton.
Yes, 91. Take one more. Oh, I like that. You've got it written down that way.
Alexander?
Yeah. No. Still speak to him?
Nope.
Graham Alexander. Great, nope. Great pals, you and him, are you not?
Doing well at Bradford.
And next up, we've got Graham in Bradford on the line, wants to catch up with his old colleague.
This is worth investigation.
He just likes to try to stir the pot, create drama. That's what he likes.
See the look in his face. It's live streamed now. He's no hiding place. You know what I mean? Oh, I know.
Did we have a chance again? Was he not manager of the month? I think he was.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, the chance
can get up. You to present the award.
I've even won player of the month once, so we know.
That would get you to present the award. If he wins manager of the year, imagine that. You just come out with a trophy. Right, Leighton and Dalglish. Take one more.
We'll need to get down this line. This is quite good, I think. This,
you like it, do you? I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Grant McIver has sent it in.
Ryan Christie
for C. Yes.
Nice.
He went to 59 last night. That was the other thing, Roger. This stuff's all small detail. It's not supposed to be celebrated in any way. If you don't win the game, that's the headline. But it was a camp it was for milestones. I think Kenny McLean went on at 50 last night. Yep. McTominay went to 60. McGinn went to 75.
Yep. Hanley was 60 as well, I think.
Hanley went to 60, and Andy Robertson and Craig Gordon moved into
stellar category,
top and positions.
It takes me back to the time, Stephen will remember this, when Scotland get knocked out of Euro 2021. Steve Clark correctly pointed out that the number of caps the Croatians had together, and the Czechs had together, and the English had together, and he said Scotland will be better for this group of players developing over the years and getting caps and getting experience. And I think he's been proved correct. They have got better, but each cycle reaches an end, and you do wonder for a number of these players, once Clark goes at the end of this calendar year, how many of them will go again under a new manager.
Let's bring in Craig on the line. How are you, Craig?
I'm not bad, yourself.
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight then?
I remember being on a few months ago and I said about Steve Clark was maybe at the end of the cycle, and I got berated for it. But I think that there has to be somebody else to come in and take it on from here. I think he can't take us any further.
When did we have this discussion that you were referring to?
It was after the Hungary game, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, the thing with it is, we'd have had loads of those conversations, Craig. Do you not think it felt, whether that's come to pass or not, do you not think it felt like it did go on a bit after that? Because your concerns would have been right at the time, but then people said, right, it needs to look a bit fresher, so Ben Doak came in. You know, went to a back four, got some good results in the Nations League. I'm not saying you're wrong to have doubts about Steve Clark, but do you not think it...
Yep.
Are we not in a different position then to when we were straight after the Euros?
No, but I think that you need to be a wee bit proactive with things like that and not let it drain off and mm-hmm. just get things done when you think they need to get done. I thought David Moyes was a perfect guy at the time, but obviously he's went to Everton and he's doing brilliant. I don't know, there's a smaller pool now, but I think Austin McPhee would be a good shout. I know he's only a set-piece coach at Aston Villa, but he's proved himself, he's got credentials, and he's a young manager, he might be a wee bit more progressive.
Roger?
I saw him last night standing behind Roberto Martinez when the fifth goal went in. Didn't you see him when Denmark was scoring two offset pieces?
Yeah.
But he was out today. Listen, he's had a great career. I think set piece coaching is his area of expertise. Mm-hmm. He was very briefly as Hearts manager, but I think he's probably found his niche, if you like. But listen, Greg, it'll be fascinating to see. We discussed it earlier. If the SFA have anything about them, they will have been alerted to what Steve Clarke said before this double header about his future. And they will have set the wheels in motion to aggressively pursue the next Scotland manager. I agree with you about David Moyes, but David Moyes and Everton are moving into a fancy new stadium at Bramley Heath Docks at the start of next season. He won't be coming anywhere near Hampden.
No.
What did he do? Did he go local, Derek McInnes? Did he go overseas? People always think of Bertie Vogts when we say that. Or where do they go next?
That's the problem. That's why I think we should have done it when David Moyes was available.
Well, Stephen O'Donnell
was available at the time I was talking about it, but just after the Hungary game, and he was available. He might have took the job. I'm not saying he would have. He might have said no, but that availability at the time.
I'd have been surprised if he took the job, considering his kind of, he was playing. He was managing the Prem with West Ham, all unemployed.
Knowing that another English job would have been round the corner, like it was.
They're going to come up. Somebody's going to call for me. He thinks probably Scotland will be there for him when he does kind of retire, if you want to put it like that. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're looking for a progressive manager,
but disrespectful, is it not?
No, but that's these guys. They have a career plan. I don't mean that like they're not
step away from the day to day.
You're retired by going to the Scotland job. That's a wee bit.
No, but it's part. It's not full time work.
Partial,
exactly. It's not full time. He doesn't need to do it. Yeah. So, and also, you talked about a progressive manager. David Moyes is anything but that. I'm not saying he's a bad manager, nothing like that, but he's also probably same age as Steve Clarke, probably not far off.
So we were separating it into old and young though, which is maybe not quite the point. Roger, on Craig's initial point, do you think Steve Clarke should have gone after the Euros? Stephen's going to say no, which is fine.
I think there was a debate to be had. I think I probably said in the show at the time that getting to back-to-back Euros, it probably earned Steve the right to decide his own future. And he decided to carry on. And it looks as if he decided his own future is, again, that he will go at the end of this campaign. If he stays for the qualifiers, he will be ahead of Craig Brown. He'll have taken more Scotland internationals as manager than any other man in the history of Scottish football. That will be a great accolade. He will have taken Scotland to two major finals. No one has done more than that in their time. So as we said earlier, when he goes, his record will stand comparison to anyone. And it'll be a big job to succeed him. Whether in the morning after a 3-0 home defeat to Greece, it sounds an odd thing to say, but whoever succeeds him will have a big job in their hands.
Do you think there's a distinction, the kind of question that I put to Craig there about what's happened since? Because it feels like, right, lots of people had their thoughts the day after the Euros finished, Roger, that Steve Clarke should go. The decision's then taken not to. Had he then, since then, throughout the Nations League, say, stuck to the back five, refused to change, not integrate Ben Doak, lose heavily or lose dreadfully in all those Nations League games, but none of that happened. Is that the bit?
And again,
you can't polish last night. Last night was rubbish.
I can't say that. He's actually been quite... He's reacted well to circumstances. He hasn't stuck to the three at the back. When the players aren't there and he thinks there's an opportunity to get Doak and others into the team, he's going to a flat back four. You see some of these guys, I'm thinking that Manchester United manager Amorim, who's going to play 3-4-3. You know, it doesn't matter whether he's got three centre-halves, whether he's got wing-backs, whether he's got three attacking players, he's going to play anywhere and try and put sort of round pins into square holes. Steve Clarke has reacted quite well to what he's got at his disposal for each game. And he's brought young players in. Did you not say, Gordon, 7 debuts for teenagers?
It was on a teaser last week. Can you add on James Wilson to the list? I can't remember
Wilson
how many it was.
Wilson and Miller and Doak and, you know, Aaron Hickey was very young when he came.
Gilmore was a teenager. Patterson was a teenager. Yeah, and Kelvin Ramsey Steven got a debut Steven, as a teenager,
so,
something
you
like
know,
that.
He has brought players in. I know the average age of the team last night was over 30. Again, some of that's down to circumstances. Had Doak and Hickey been available, they'd have started the game.
Had Craig Gordon not been 42.
Had Craig Gordon not been 42.
Just a bit.
Listen, you joke, but you know, that's serious. Had there been a younger, better goalkeeper, that brings it all down. So all these things, you know, all these things factor in. But he will go after this campaign. Some of the players will go after this campaign. And it's then up to the James Wilsons and Lennon Millers and Ben Doakes to ensure Scotland stay at the level that Steve Clark's taken them to.
I also think the age shouldn't really matter because it's who's the best for that position. No,
but
for
but it's more a sign of where you're heading, though, isn't it?
But if there's nowhere to head because they're not good enough, they shouldn't play. Like, it's Lennon Miller wouldn't be playing for Mullow if he wasn't good enough. So if they're good enough, they'll get the people will get through. The boy 17, Karetsas for Greece, he's good enough. That's why he's in the squad. He comes on and performs because he's good enough.
Do you not think, Craig, that this is why the World Cup qualification campaign makes it really simple, where a manager, if he's going to lose his job, it'll be because results aren't good enough. Just make the result king, and then everything else becomes irrelevant. Because it feels like we're going round in circles a bit. Because people will say, they used to say, ah, he's too stubborn, he sticks to the back three. Well, now he doesn't, because he went to the back four. People say, ah, he doesn't bring young players in. Well, he would say, well, you know, Gilmore, Patterson, Hickey, Doak, I've given Lennon Miller a squad, I've given Wilson a debut. Yeah. People say, you know, it feels like all these little accusations can be argued against, whereas if we strip it all back, we've got a World Cup qualification campaign. If you make it to the World Cup, amazing, and if you don't, thank you very much, and we move on.
Yeah, of course, but that's all in hindsight. But like, I think Lennon Miller should have been playing the other night as well. I think he's not bringing them in. I think he's bringing them in reactively rather than proactive. This is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
But again, nobody's as biased towards Lennon Miller as me. It's a pretty decent area of the team.
But it's a
pretty strong area of the team, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But
because,
well,
I mean, Lewis Ferguson didn't start last night. Is Lennon Miller ahead of him?
Well, I think two things the other night was McGinn and Ryan Christie on wings, playing wide, like quite wide for the.
Who would you have played wide?
Right, okay, I get that, but I would.
It's quite important,
no,
isn't it?
You can use wing backs then.
So, but then that's what I'm saying. So, okay, to do that, you go back to a back three with wing backs, and then people say, "Aha, we've gone back to that back three again."
I don't think it's anything wrong with that, as long as you're playing attacking wing backs, and you've got a good centre midfield who can all play together, who can all interchange. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It depends on the way you set up the five at the back.
But it's also who you've got. It's also who you've got at your disposal. So the attacking wing backs, like Nathan Patterson, I'll give you, fits in that ilk.
Yep.
But he's not fit.
He's not been playing enough for Everton, obviously. Yeah. But Ralston can play that role as well. Sometimes he's done it before.
I wouldn't have said he was an
attacking.
People
said it didn't work at the Euros, didn't they?
I wouldn't have said Tony. I think's in my opinion, a better right back than wing back. But it's just.
I get that. Yeah.
Again, and then that's his opinion. That's a great thing about football. It then means you can maybe play four centre mids. You could maybe play a box, and Lennon could play as the eight, if that's what you're talking about, Lennon playing. Mm. But then I'm going to tell you, Gilmore, McLean, Ferguson,
McTominay,
McGinn,
Christie.
I would only have the three as Gilmore, McTominay, and Ferguson.
And then two up top.
And then have Ryan Christie behind the top man.
Sounds good to me. Give Craig the job. Thank you very much. That was Craig and Knightswood. Craig and Knightswood on the line. Lots of good debate to be had still. How are you getting on with this teaser? For every letter in the word Scotland, can you name the player with the most caps whose name begins with that letter? C for Christie, L for Leighton, D for Dalgleish.
I've not even got anyone for T. My other ones aren't great. The only one I'm going to say is Naismith
for
M. I was going to go because
you've got young kids. You've almost called it
It's like
Stephen Naismith.
For Christie.
Stephen Naismith, 51 caps.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh. Roger.
Roy Aitken.
For A, yes. 57 caps. We'll get the rest when we return.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
Right, hopefully you've heard about this by now, but if you haven't, Cash for Kids Day coming up, we've set ourselves a huge challenge. We're going to step around Scotland with our mates at 101 convenience stores. So to cover the distance, we need to walk 16 million steps. Now, that's obviously where you come in. No one can do that alone. So there are plenty of ways to get involved. The easiest and best way is probably to sign up for the Kilt Walk. It takes place on the 26th and 27th of April, and you can walk anywhere from 3 all the way up to 23 miles whilst helping us hit that target. Now, if you get in touch with the Cash for Kids team, you can claim your place for free. So whether it is the Kilt Walk or just off your own back, get your work involved, your school involved, whatever it is, every step counts. We want to hit 16 million steps before Cash for Kids Day on Thursday the 1st of May. We do need your help. Sign up Clyde1.com. We're going to step together on Cash for Kids Day, proudly supported by 101 convenience stores.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell. They're going about this teaser, which is a good one. I like it. Good imagination from Grant McIver, who sent it in. He was asking the guys to name, for every letter in the word Scotland, can you name the player with the most caps whose surname begins with that letter? So they haven't got S yet, but C is Christie, L is Leighton, A is Aitken, N is Naismith, D is Dalgleish. So S, O and T. I'll take one each at the moment.
I'll go Graham Souness
for S. I'll take one from you.
I can't think of anyone else. I hope I'm wrong. But O'Donnell,
imagine you say you hope you're wrong. I think being wrong would be way worse than this.
Being
wrong would be much worse. Thinking it's me, it's got to be me.
No, I didn't say it's got. It's not me. Right, so who is it?
Not as you. But I'm saying I think it would have been worse if you were wrong. 26 caps. Leave it there because we've got plenty of time to get the remaining letter.
Is Souness right?
Which is T. Souness is right. 01419511025. If you want to, you'd probably squeeze a call in. I mean, we're nearly there, but still plenty of time. Let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark. He says he didn't really pay much attention to the boos ringing out around Hampden at the full time whistle.
Didn't really notice them, to be honest. I'm focused on other things other than what the supporters are doing. I always have been. Obviously, we weren't expecting to get the performance we got tonight, so you can use the word surprise, but football doesn't really surprise you.
A bit like Steve Clark, not that, but interested in the debate about booing at full time, because it was a rubbish performance and people booed. Like, who cares? What about the booing of the substitution taking off Billy Gilmore? Is that a bit more telling?
Listen, no. Even if Steve Clark had heard the jeers at the final whistle, I don't think it would have bothered them.
That's expected. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't think the booing of the substitution would particularly affect him either.
What do you think, though? Because that's a very specific thing. That, I mean, at the end of a game, you lose, well, people
should,
boo. But
the booing, or should he have made the substitution?
I guess a bit of both. Was it the wrong sub? Is that why so many people booed, or what?
I don't think he could have done most things at that stage, and he would probably have got a boo, if you know what I mean. It was just the way the game was going. Billy Gilmore is a fan's favourite, so when you take him off, regardless of the circumstances, it's going to be a controversial decision. Steve Clark was doing what he thought he needed to do at that point in the game. It'll all be forgotten about by the time the World Cup qualifiers come around. Gilmore will be back in the squad, perhaps with Lennon Miller at his side, or maybe Ryan Christie at his side.
Is there a... You sometimes get this, Stephen, where is it difficult around Billy Gilmore, where if he plays badly, you know, he should come off like anyone else, but he's also quite noticeably the best at handling the ball. So then, you know, I'm not saying you just leave him on regardless, but is that maybe where fans will disagree on it?
Yeah, probably. The fans see him as somebody that always wants it, gets on it, very comfortable, as you said. But at that maybe stage at 3-0, the game's probably going to get a bit open, a bit end to end. Hopefully, that's your wanting to try and push for the win, get a goal, sorry. Yeah. So it's going to be a bit more open for the Greeks in the counter. Would that suit Billy's game as much? Bigger space? I don't know. Like, he's a top player, but again, what player in that team that you could replace with a level sub would you take off?
Yeah.
So if you take off John McGinn, criticism. You take off Andy Robertson.
He did take off Andy Robertson quite early as well, didn't he?
Do you know what I mean? No, like, that's my point, is it's very difficult to... Like, they're all good players and fans are going to have opinions, and that's part and parcel of it. And Again, I don't think the manager will be one bit bothered. I think for Billy, it might be nice if he heard it, because it's obviously nice to be loved and be wanted. But again, he's a top player as well. Is it going to affect him if he's getting boos the other way? I don't think so.
Is there any sort of theme that we can draw in terms of weakness against teams that are good at countering against Scotland, Roger? Is that me? I'm thinking of just some of the disappointing results.
I think Scotland are better set up to play on that sort of counter, absorb pressure, keep the ball, Gilmour, etc., etc., and then strike when you can, win the penalty like we did in Piraeus the other night. I think this Scotland team, but particularly without Doug, struggle when there's a responsibility and an onus to go and take the play to another team. I think if Scotland could play all their games away from home, they wouldn't necessarily be annoyed about the prospect of that. So it's a tough World Cup group coming up. The Greeks again, the Danes are a very good side. If Scotland are to get to the World Cup, they're going to have to play an awful lot better than they did even on Thursday night, never mind last night. Steve Clarke will know that. He'll go away and think about how he's going to square the circle, if you like, Gordon. But I think we're all agreed we need to be better.
Denmark are obviously good, but I think most people would have preferred them to Portugal. Did Scotland, did Scotland get the right outcome in that one last night?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to put a positive spin on things because last night was so bad and everyone's so down about it. But is there another way of looking at it, Stephen, where, yes, Greece are very good. We've now discovered that and we're going to need to play them twice. But because Denmark are good but not world beaters, and Greece are good but not world beaters, you never know. Sometimes everybody cuts everyone's throat, and then it still gives you an opportunity.
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's a group that we can't come out of as top, but it's going to be tough. The game over in Denmark, I was in the squad the last time out, and they're a very good side. I think they only lost one game in the group, and that was the last game against ourselves. But again, like our problems is they've got a 38-year-old goalkeeper that, if you want to talk about ageing teams, that Ericsson's 33, albeit they've got like Samika Beerith, young player coming through. But it's just very hard to tell international football. It changes very quickly. I would rather be facing the Danes than the Portuguese, but again, they're no mugs, and it's going to be tough, and we're going to need to soak it up. But I think this squad, this group of players, everyone fit, we can match anyone on a day.
And yet, the two games against Portugal in the Nations League weren't a disaster by any stretch. Who knows what to make of all this, anyway?
Just looking up in Wembley tonight, would you like to be facing Harry Kane again? I see the St. Johnson centre-half, Daniels Balodis.
Is he up against him,
Up against Harry Kane, playing for Latvia tonight, starting for Latvia at Wembley.
There you go.
Some occasion, hard place to play.
It has been an interesting international break. Take Scotland out, you look at, you know, the stories regarding Schmeichel, Raskin, Adebida, got the winner for Ireland last night. Robbie Matondo, remember him? Got a goal for Wales the other night as well. And I see Alistair Johnson beat Cameron Carter-Vickers at the CONCACAF Nations League.
The sort of the Rami, have you seen that clip? So I must admit, I don't know the context, but Cameron Carter-Vickers is raging at something, and all the players are all, and he's trying to get to whoever. And Alistair Johnson comes in and he's kind of laughing and he's trying to, like, it's me, remember me, you know, trying to break up. It's quite funny. I'll show you it when we're done.
I wonder who they won that fight.
And we are nearly done, right? Okay, one more on the teaser. For all the letters of Scotland, can you name the player whose surname corresponds to that letter with the most caps? So S for Souness, C for Christie, O for O'Donnell, L for Leighton, A for Aitken, N for Naismith, D for Dalgleish, which means the only one you're missing is T for
Kieran Tierney,
47 caps. He would have had much more than that if it wasn't for injuries, you'd imagine. But there we go, Kieran Tierney is in there. And as you can hear, that is us. It was not a good night at Hampden, but hopefully we've all benefited from getting some stuff off of our chests. Day two, maybe, of the fallout tomorrow. Or maybe you'll just be scunnered and want to look ahead to the weekend returning already. Could be interesting though. I think Neil Lennon speaks for the first time as Dunfermline manager tomorrow, doesn't he?
Yep, 1 o'clock unveiling at East End Park.
So we'll look forward to that. You can hear that on the show. And Scottish football's never quiet, is it? I'm sure something else will come up tomorrow. Thank you to Stephen O'Donnell. Thank you to Roger Hanna. The biggest thanks as always to you for listening, calling, tweeting. We will speak to you tomorrow night from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.